You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Let's greet each other. Give everybody a big greeting. Good to be back home, and I'll share a little more with you in a few minutes. On that note, next Saturday at 10 o'clock, we're going to be on the property putting the tent up for our super gigantic, spectacular, how do you say spectacular in Spanish?
Espectacular.
Espectacular. Our rummage sale, and you're welcome to come. I want you to come, bring your junk from the house, and tables are $25 each. All proceeds go to our project, and we'll just have a great time under the tent. We're going to put a banner up. In fact, Rick's printing a big, gigantic banner for us to put on 76 to drive some customers to us. And we'll be selling furniture and all this stuff that's in the ranch house. So I want to encourage you to take a look through that. There's some real beautiful stuff in there, some really nice stuff. And we'll be selling that as well. Immediately following our service is the spaghetti luncheon, a fundraiser for our youth camp and our youth. So I want to encourage you to go by and buy lunch. You can buy them to go if you need to head out and go home if you've got other plans this afternoon. And please support our youth and go by and patronize our lunch today. And then also, some really tragic news. Our administrator, Carol Horton's husband, Mike, he would come and pick her up every day in a pickup Monday through Friday. And on Monday, he was in a car wreck on US 1. And they said that he was going regular highway speed, never touched the brakes, hit a Lexus at full speed, and he died Wednesday. And so be in prayer for Carol. The memorial service is this evening or afternoon at 5:30 at Truth Church in Port St. Lucie. If you'd like to come, please do. And then on another note, one of our favorite deacon families in the life of church, as you know, Gary Porter went to be with the Lord last May, and then Helen went to be with the Lord about 6 weeks ago, and her memorial service is next Saturday at 2 o'clock. So at 10 o'clock, we're going to put the tent up, and then at 2 o'clock, we're going to celebrate Helen and her love. If you'll remember them during the COVID years for like probably 2 years, after every service, they would disinfect the whole sanctuary and the lobby, and just sweet servants of the Lord, both of them together now in heaven. And we celebrate that. And that'll be next Saturday at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Ice cream fellowship immediately following. Both of them absolutely adored ice cream. So you got to thank a lot of them for that. Amen. And we'll be doing that as well. And so just keep those things in mind. And then there's a few other things. Also, our MOPS is coming up this Wednesday. senior adult luncheon. We've got Tim O'Carroll, a fine Irish boy, coming. He's a pastor in Port St. Lucie, and he heads up our Treasure Coast Baptist Association. He's going to be coming and speaking about the Irish events and St. Patrick, and talk about St. Patrick some. That's our senior luncheon. So Tuesday, March 17th at noon. So I want to encourage you. Then our Palm Sunday worship celebration, March 29th. If you would keep that in front of you and invite folks to be a part of it. It's a great opportunity for outreach. So I just want to thank you on behalf of Kim and I for allowing us to go to Greece. We flew to Greece to be with Shay and Josh and the grandkids, and met them halfway. And it was an absolute joy. And so I'm going to walk you through our trip real quick. Let's see, I'm learning this clicker. Okay, let's kill the house lights. So here's the Ormond's journey to Greece in February, okay? And then this is us flying on Turkish Airlines. We flew into Istanbul, Turkey, and I had the opportunity to witness to some Muslim flight attendants, and that was a joy. And then we went to, we were in Athens, we flew over to Greece, and we were staying in Athens, and we went to the Parthenon. This was like the lowest part of our vacation for me. So we visited Mars Hill, where the Apostle Paul debated the philosophers, and we left that park, and Shay called and got an Uber for her and Kim and the two girls, and then Josh Gardner was in charge of our transportation, and it fell through. And so I went to a taxi driver and bribed him with some euros to take us. We had to go to this particular location, which is the highest, it's the highest point above Athens, 912 feet above sea level, on Mount Lekabetis. And so they drove, the girls drove to the top, got out, went through opening glass doors, got on the train to go up to the top. Then we got dumped at the bottom of these stairs. I've got an artificial hip. I've got 69-year-old knees. I've got a torn meniscus in my right knee. And there, they say, if you Google it, there are 600 steps, six with two zeros, to get to the top. So I took a picture of these stairs. You can see like seven or eight of the flights, and it went on. I thought it was going to go into the clouds, and it makes that rocky run, you know, on Philadelphia look like a baby step, you know, a nothing. And halfway up, I've got to confess, I almost cussed. I almost used profanity. I did say, this is the vacation from hell, because I was dying. I was in such pain. And when we got to the top, some people moved out of the way to let me sit on the train in a good seat. And so we went up to the top, and then we went up there, and then here's the view at the top with the sunset. So I actually took that picture, and it was incredible, and you could see 360 degrees of Athens all the way around, the Aegean Sea all the way around. So then we went to the Acropolis, and it's at the top of this picture. We're standing below it before we went up, and guess what? Their elevator was broken. So I had another 300 steps there. I definitely got, you know, my glute work in on this trip. And what's interesting on the Acropolis, you're walking around and it's 3,100 years old. It's one of the most ancient sites on earth. And I told Kim, some of those marble steps, granite steps that we walked up, that Socrates walked on and Plato and all of them actually stepped on those steps going up there. And so it was really interesting. And then this, we had to go to a pharmacy for pain medication. And so this is a pharmacy in Athens, and the view out the back, and this is a better view of it. You can see the Parthenon up on top of the hill. And this is one of the most photographed depictions of the Parthenon in the downtown city of Athens, an ancient Greek Orthodox church there. And so overlooking the city. And then this is us touring the Acropolis. Now, the Acropolis is the top where the Parthenon is located. The top of that entire mountain area is the Acropolis. And there's several temples actually up there. And not only the Parthenon, there's a temple to Athena and some other, and you'll see those, okay? Parthenon, the exterior is surrounded by these columns. They're 34 feet tall. There's 46 of them, 6.2 feet around in diameter at the base. And just a beautiful, I took that picture of that corner right there. You've got a lion's head sticking out, a couple of horses up at the cap at the top. And then this is us in front of the Parthenon. That's Kim and I in front of Athena's temple. And then we went from there to Corinth and the Apostle Paul. We went to several places. We went to Mars Hill, where he debated the Greek philosophers and made the great statement that you made this temple to the unknown God, and I'm here to declare to you who he is. And the Apostle Paul did that. And then let's go back and back. Okay. This is us loving on family in front of all that. Now, this is the Corinthian Canal. This was donated by Hungary to the nation of Greece, and it's 300 feet deep. That's a 30-story building. We're standing on a bridge that is straight as an arrow, 1 mile, and it connects the Iconian and Aegean seas. And what's interesting, this is another picture of us above it, is that they do bungee cord jumps from it. Right underneath, there's a walkway, so you're diving off the equivalent of a 30-story building on a bungee cord. I wanted to do it, and Kim said, you are absolutely not doing that. And when we got there, I guess thankfully it was closed that day, so we didn't have the option. And then Zeus, we went through the museum there in Corinth, and there's Zeus's temple. And as you know, Zeus, the supreme being of the pantheon of Greek deities, ruling from Mount Olympus, and temple of Zeus. There's 7 columns remaining. That at one point was the largest temple in all of Greece. That's us standing in front of it. And then this is the Bema judgment seat. And we're going to be looking at that today in scripture. It's actually a rectangular little building, that foundation that's left, and it's about the size of our stage, about door to door. If you could picture this area, this would pretty much be a replica of the Bema judgment seat. And so the civil authorities stood up there, and they made judgment on people that were down on the pavement below. And then at the top, and we'll look at this in 2 weeks with the Great White Throne Judgment, is the Temple of Aphrodite. And we'll get into and contrast those two things being in the same region, the same, all of that going on at the same time. The Apostle Paul judged down there. They had National Kite Day there. One day a year is a national vacation, and they're all encouraged to go fly kites. So you're not really, you know, rejecting someone if you say, go fly a kite, you know, and there that means, so we got kites for the grandkids, and Cohen was flying his, it was a jet airplane like that one, and the handle, the wind was stiff coming off the Aegean Sea, the handle came out of his hand, and his kite took off and flew a half a mile. So he started just chasing down the beach after, we don't know these people. So Shay starts chasing Cohen, as Cohen is chasing his kite. And so we had some adventure with that as well. And then this is Chris. He was our one of our tour drivers. And Chris, obviously a big guy like me, and a Greek, fancies himself a philosopher. very intelligent. And so he and I debated in the front seats the whole tour that day. And then halfway through the day, at the end, I witnessed to him. I shared Christ. And I shared the Romans passage 10, where he says in Scripture, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when I shared that with him, he said, well, Pastor, the mouth can say something the heart doesn't believe, that the heart is the truth of it. The mouth can lie, you know. And I said, well, there is a lot of truth, Chris, to what you're saying. So he was talking about that as an objection to accepting Christ. So I said, and I couldn't hardly get a word in edgewise with him. And, you know, that's pretty, I usually get a word in. And for the first half of the trip. And so at this point, I just said to him, Chris, then just believe on him in your heart. And so he said, I will. And so I led him in the sinner's prayer. He didn't say it out loud. And when we got done, he said, I prayed in my heart. And what Kim said when he picked us up, we went somewhere and he dropped us off for one of our walk tours. And then when he picked us up, his whole spirit was different. He asked me, what's your favorite parable of the Lord Jesus? And so I walked him through the four soils and he just drank it all in. And then Kim gave him one of our gospel tracts that I wrote. And he said, I'm going to use this. And his whole spirit changed. We could believe it because that's what God does. But we praise the Lord. Keep Chris in your prayers. He's got a lot of influence. He's talking to people every day, van loads of people. And so just pray that Chris will be a dynamic believer for Christ. And then Greece is waiting. We had such a great time. That's the Parthenon at night and the Acropolis underneath it. And maybe we'll work up a Greek tour and go if y'all would want to. I can't guarantee you there won't be a lot of walking, but I can guarantee you we're going to get to the top as much as we can and drive you up if we go. So we had a great time. Thank you for letting us go. Praise the Lord. But dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time. So I once got in a discussion with another pastor. He had published a book on heaven, and we got into a discussion about heaven. And in the discussion, we finally came around sort of to the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. And his conviction was that those are not in heaven. And so my conviction, I was shocked. I'd not really discussed or debated anyone about that position before. And I said, well, how can they not be in heaven? I think that's intuitive. Can I hear an amen? I mean, when, or maybe not. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And where is Christ seated now? On the right hand of God in heaven. And then it's called the white throne judgment. Where is the throne of God right now? Where is it? I want to hear it. It's in heaven. And so the discussion was that these judgments were here on earth, I guess, or at one point. So there was another pastor listening in, and he had just downloaded Grok on his phone. So he asked Grok, is there a judgment seat and when is it? And Grok said the judgment seat is right after the rapture, like right at the point of the rapture. And there's no scripture that delineates that, I mean, as a time frame. If you know one, bring it to me after the service. I would love to see it, and I will add that into my sermon. But there is no chronological. That's one of the problems with prophecy, is that it kind of bounces around in the Bible. Like in the book of Revelation, you have seal judgments, trumpet judgments, bowl judgments, and they kind of intermingle with each other. And so there's sometimes not a distinct time frame. You have to piece it together by the internal evidence of Scripture. And so I thought on that note from AI saying that the judgment seat of Christ is right after the rapture, I never thought about that before, but when I started rolling that around in my spirit and my mind, I thought that would actually be an intuitive, logical place for it to occur, because if the trumpet sounds right this moment and every believer on earth shoots out of here and goes out to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words. At that point on earth, for at least a few seconds or a few minutes, there will not be a single believer on earth. Can I hear an amen? There won't be a one. So at the point we streak out of here and we're reunited with all of the patriarchs and Old Testament saints from Adam and Eve on, we're all believers from Adam and Eve on to us. We're in the presence of God at the same time. That would be a perfect time for the judgment seat of Christ. So I'll start adding that in as a philosophical argument, although you can't put a time frame on it from Scripture. So when we look at this and think about this, there's a couple of passages that deal with the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we all need to be aware here today. Well, I hope all of you are born again. And if you're not here, it's your fault, because we try to win you every week. But let's assume all of us here are born again believers, indwelt by the Spirit of God, indwelt by Christ, and that we've had our spirit awakened, you know, resurrected really inside of us. Our dead human spirit is now alive. And the idea that we are now in Christ. Now, when we think about sins, and I'm still trying to sort some of this out, because Scripture says when we see Jesus, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And then also the Scriptures say that you and I are now, at the time we're born again, whenever you got really saved, you became a partaker of the divine nature by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then when we die or we're raptured, we will be glorified and we'll have the complete divine nature. That's the riches of heaven, is the nature of God. So with that is, what is the divine nature of God? Well, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's all-powerful. So I believe that as a gift, he's giving that to all of us, because if we are having his nature, we will have his attributes. So I've tried to sort out, how much do the dead know about us here on earth? How much are they watching? Are they aware of all our sins? Do they have omniscient knowledge now? And I mean, there's some ramifications for everyone here of that. Mom and Dad are watching, Billy Graham's watching, Jerry Falwell's watching, all these dead saints are. But the Bible does say we're encompassed about by a cloud of witnesses. And so, anyway, in this debate that I had about the judgments, the two judgments and where they're located and kind of when they are, it came to a point where the other pastor said, we're not talking about this anymore. And I said, well, I'm enjoying it. He said, I'm not. And I said, this is good for you. And he said, I don't like to debate things. I don't like to argue things. And I said, well, I am Irish. My middle name's Patrick. You know, have you ever heard of the Fighting Irish? And so, but I said, debate is good for you. It's how you sharpen your arguments. It's how you sharpen your board. Iron sharpens iron, you know. And, but anyway, so that discussion ended. And then a little later, he wanted to discuss another one, and I diverted it to something else because it didn't seem fruitful. And so when we think about this, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment. Now, let's kill the lights again. I've got a video I want to show you. It's 2 minutes long. I took it on our trip at the Bema judgment seat. Let's kill the spots and run that little short video, I think. Or do I need to do it?
I'm here at the Bema judgment seat location where the Apostle Paul was facing judgment for his evangelism, his testimony for Christ. As you can see, it's designated even on the historical placard here, Bema. And there's an area up top that is probably about a 40 to 50 foot square area that even became the ancient church. And the scriptures tell us we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's a reference to this and the actions that occurred here with the civil government, the ancient civil government. And we need to recognize that the Lord's going to judge everything in our life, every thought, every word, every deed, every action, and that we need to be preparing to stand before him. I like Otto Schindler's illustration in Schindler's List, the great German manufacturer who saved hundreds of Jewish lives during World War II, when at the very end, he questions keeping a gold pin on his lapel, keeping his car, equating it to two more Jews, one more Jew, his car, five more Jews, 10 more Jews. Why did I keep these things? And we need to all be thinking in the same way when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll give us rewards. It's called crowns, five different types of crowns in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you to live for Jesus, to study the crowns, to seek those rewards from God, eternal rewards that last forever and ever. Silver right now is at an all-time high. A 1 ounce coin of bullion is worth $85 an ounce, but that's nothing compared to the crowns of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of suffering, the crown of faithfulness that the New Testament refers to. Love you. Want to encourage you to live for Jesus with all your heart.
So that reference that is the Bema representative. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was actually reflecting on his experience there. And I'll show you another video later, the pathway that comes in, the ancient Roman pathway that goes into that area is actually where the Apostle Paul walked in, literally on his sandals. And we'll look at that later. But we see that the idea, the Bema judgment seat, the judges are elevated and they're looking down. Where I was standing was a little stone patio type area that was stoned out, and that's where the accused stood down below, and the judges would be up above. And then to where I was facing to my right, there was actually an athletic track that went around this, and it had been higher. It had been a tower, and they were actually on the parapet of the roof of it and be elevated where they could see the races that ran around this building out in that stoned courtyard. And so the Bema judgment, God elevated, God looking down on us, God observing us, God investigating and inspecting our lives. Now, the question does come up about sin in our life. Is this a sin rehearsal judgment? And so let's look at a couple of passages and see what Scripture says about this particular event. If you got your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so here we see this depiction of the judgment seat of Christ, and it says we all are going. Every one of us have this court date. Every one of us are going. And then he says, he talks about some of the aspects of it. First of all, we'll begin with this passage that heaven is our home when we're absent from the body. And so right now, you and I are in our bodies. We're here on earth, and we do have an eternal spirit body within our physical body. And our soul is within our spirit body. And it says that in Corinthians, in the resurrection chapter. It talks about, it says there's a physical body and there's a spiritual body. So literally, I believe in every one of us, no matter how old you are, that inside is this young spirit. And when I've interviewed most senior adults, like at nursing homes, assisted living, they say, inside of me is a teenager. He's awfully tired right now and in pain, but inside is a teenager. And so we've got this particular spirit-soul combination, and we're going to give an account for it. Now, I think that the judgment for each one of us individually, that we carry the hard drive for that in our subconscious. You're not aware of it consciously, neither am I, but in your mind, locked in your mind, is every experience you've had in your life. Every aroma you've smelled, every word you've said, every word you've heard, every noise you've heard, everything you've touched, every experience you've had, everything in your life, whether good or bad, whether you were using your body for righteousness or unrighteousness, everything is there in your subconscious mind. You're carrying it with you. And I do believe that God can just reach in and touch the play button and zip through from the moment we're conceived and we heard our mother's heartbeat inside her womb and we were seeing some light come through the surface of her abdomen if she was getting a suntan on a sunny day. All of these things, they say definitely the children, people that read to their children in utero, they come out at more advanced, and they respond to voices. And you and I were doing that. There was a time when we were pre-born, we started gathering information, emotions then. And then we went on through. Now, you say, gosh, I can't remember that. Who can? Right. But the reason I believe this is when I was 9 years old, I was swimming at Sardis Lake. A friend of mine, Kenneth, started drowning. I swam out to help save his life. And he reached over and put his hand on my head, pushed me under so he could breathe. And then I started drowning at 9 years old. So I went under. When I came up, a boat wave hit me when I was trying to get a breath. And I lost that opportunity. And I went under and I blacked out. I literally was dying. And when I woke up, I was on the beach. They had given me CPR. But what's funny is between when I blacked out and when I woke up on the beach, I distinctly remember rushing through all the memories of my life. I mean, I can still almost pull up some of that experience now consciously. And that was 60 years ago. And so I do believe that this is a mechanism where God could get a billion people in one space, hit the play button, and he would have an individual judgment or evaluation with each and every one of them all at the same time. I don't think there's a long line one at a time. You're next, angels usher us up. You know, that'd take millions of years maybe. But we see this. So you need to be aware that whatever you see, hear, say, do, everything in your life, that there is an accountability aspect to it. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for heaven or hell. That's already settled when we accept Christ. Jesus settled that on the cross. Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. It's all covered. So you and I, in Christ, all of our sins are forgiven in the practical way for getting to heaven. So the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do. In fact, everyone there is, we're there. We're good to go. But there are differences. Now, in my debate with the pastor, I was talking about rewards, and he said, I believe everyone's rewarded the same. It's like spiritual socialism. I said, so you think the person like Billy Graham that got the gospel and said, I'm going to try to win as many as I can and won millions to Christ, that he's going to get the same reward as some backsliding Christian who gave his life to Jesus, never read his Bible, never went to church, never witnessed, never tithed, never served. So you think they're going to get the, yes. I said, I don't agree with that at all. And the reason I don't agree with that is this passage. Because he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may be recompensed, rewarded for their deeds in their body, according to what they have done, whether good or whether bad. Whether good or whether bad. There's a distinction there. So we see this now. Another passage I want to bring in real quick at this point, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, or stubble, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet though so as through fire. So in this passage, it says at this judgment that although there's the fire, the Shekinah glory of God, his immense purity and burning holiness will examine our lives, it says that everyone there will be saved. We'll get gain, we'll get loss, we'll be rewarded, we'll have judgment on the bad things. And he talks about the quality of them, gold, silver, precious stones, things of intrinsic value, lasting things, wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble won't survive a torch. Gold will, diamonds will, and intrinsic value. And so we see that this is actually the judgment seat of Christ is the boss calling us in the office to give an account. And we're giving an account of our service here on earth, how we've served Christ. And this is coming, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen for everybody, every believer, every one of us here. Every one of us are going to go do this with Christ. And we're going to give an account. And what's great about it, though, is who's the judge? Who is the judge at the judgment seat of Christ? Okay, this is an easy question. It's in the title, Judgment Seat of Christ. Who is the judge? Christ. And who is Christ to us? He's our Savior. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And in one sense, through the Holy Spirit and He Himself, He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. Wouldn't it be great to go to court when the judge is your lawyer? Do you think you'd win that case? I think you would. And so here we see that the Lord Jesus, and so he's going to be loving us through it all. And it's interesting that in Scripture, when it talks about sins, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then the Scriptures say that God will take our sins and put them as far away as the east is from the west, and he will sink them in the sea of his forgetfulness and remember them no more. It's one of the only points in Scripture that talks about a limit for God. There's a few. He can't sin. He can't tell a lie. And in this point, he can't remember our sins if we confess them, put them under the blood of Christ, and he'll sink them, he'll separate them from himself. And he said, I will remember them no more. Divine amnesia. Can I hear an amen? And so, you and I, as we're preparing for this upcoming judgment, we need to be preparing in this way. We're here in our bodies now. We're serving. Your only opportunity to be rewarded is right now. I promise you, there will be most believers, especially in America, the most affluent nation in the world, we've had the most opportunity, who will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and if there is a moment before it's your turn, you will be thinking, why did I use so much of my time, my talent, my treasure for myself? Why was I so selfish with all the things that God loaned to my life? Why did I not invest them for the kingdom of Christ? Why? Why did I give him the equivalent of a tip at a restaurant and then keep all the rest and use it for my own self, my own pleasure, my own interest? I guarantee you that's going to happen. Well, I'm preaching today to myself and to you that we change that. That we change that. That we change our priorities. This is why I witness like I do. This is why I get on a Muslim airline, Turkish airline, and I'm witnessing to Muslim flight attendants. And they're a little uncomfortable, but they're very interested and they're listening. And that's why I lead Chris to Christ, the head of our tour. And on our trip, I had the privilege to pray with 6 people to receive Christ in different settings. And I'm going to share another one with you in a couple of weeks. That was one of the most unusual experiences I've ever had sharing Christ. But I think about this often when I turn in my tithe every week. I think, I want to say, God, I acknowledged you and your provision in my life, and I was faithful in that. I did not consume it on myself. Now, for those who say, I want to save up as much as I can for my kids and grandkids, that is a foolish endeavor for a believer. Some of the wealthiest men that live Warren Buffett has given like penances of money to his kids and said, I want to teach them how to earn on their own. Most of the time, you're going to be doing a disservice if you leave a lot of money, estate, and all these other things to kids that don't know how to manage money, and they fight over it and fight each other, and they get into all these things, and then they squander it away. We need to be thinking about the kingdom of Christ. We need to be thinking about missions. We need to be thinking about the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And we need to be investing in that. And then we need to be investing our time. When you say, praise God if you do, most don't, but if you come to church every Sunday morning, okay, give the Lord 2 or 3 hours a week. When you stand before Christ, do you feel like that'll hold up? Do you feel like there might be some loss, some suffering, some shame? So our goal in life should be to please the Lord Jesus. That's in verse 9 of our passage where it says, therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, at home is here or absent is to be with the Lord, that we be pleasing to him, that we please him with our lives. We please him with the investment, with our efforts. And I want to tell you, serving Christ will make you live longer. People who worship Jesus, they're younger, longer, healthier. And I just put on my Facebook page a study that was done on people who read the Bible every day. Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's amazing the benefits. And there's legible, studyable, graphable benefits to people who read the Bible once a week, four times a week, 7 days a week. And there's a marked difference, those that don't read it at all, even as professing believers. So we're going to give an account. Every believer, without exception, shall appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10, we shall all appear, all of us. Then we see our appointment is to be rewarded, that we will be recompensed for our deeds in the body. This is why we've got the workbook here. We've got God's constitution in our lap or on your phone or where, however you read the word. And in it, we've got all the things that he spells out about upcoming judgment, accountability, rewards. And next week, we're going to look at five crowns that are achievable for us as believers. And you say, well, I'm not interested in crowns. I don't care a thing about it. Well, if that pleases the Lord and he's provided these as a motivation, do you think that that is a godly response to Christ? Well, I don't care anything about rewards. You know, I'm just a humble soul that doesn't obey him. No, you know, we need to recognize that he wants us to be rewarded. And so our appointment is to be rewarded. And then God will review the good and bad in our lives. And there's the distinction in our passage, according to what we've done, whether good or bad. And then in our next passage, the 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 15, God will divide the works of our life between gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And in 1 Corinthians 3:12, now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, what building material are you using? It is crucial. Jesus talked about the foundations of sand or rock. Dr. Bickers was a missionary in Malawi, and he was assigned to a volcano valley people. There was a lake in the bottom of the volcano valley, and these people were cannibal headhunters. And in missionary anthropology, they say people are either one or the other, they're not both. Well, he was assigned to one of these unique tribes in the world that were both. And he started seeing the Holy Spirit soften their hearts, saw them start coming to Christ. Well, there was one real sharp young man that watched everything Dr. Bickers did. So Dr. Bickers built a house for he and his family as soon as he got there. And he brought in rock and cement, and he poured a foundation, had that brought in. And then he built the superstructure, the building itself, above that foundation. Well, this young man was watching him and mimicking everything he did. And in another location, he would watch him, and everything Dr. Bickers did, he would go do it. It, with one exception, he didn't have the money for concrete. He didn't have access, the ability to get that in. So he built a structure that looked similar to Dr. Bickers' house right on the ground, on the sand. And sure enough, monsoon rains came. They swept down the sides of this valley, and they washed this man's home away. And Dr. Bickers stood strong, built on the right foundation. What kind of materials are you using to build your life? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now you say, Pastor, how can I know which material I'm using? And where is the delineation on that? I believe that in Scripture, God says that our righteous acts to him outside of the Holy Spirit are filthy rags. And that God says the works of the flesh are enmity. They're at war with God. They're against God. I believe that when you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, when we're born again, that when we obey the promptings of God in our life, and we do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, that all of those things are gold, silver, and precious stones. That means if you're cleaning your house and you're filled with God's Spirit and you're obeying Him and singing to Him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs while you're cleaning the house or whatever, but you're in God's Spirit and you're obeying Him, that you'll be rewarded for it. Kim prays all the time for me to do honey-dos around the house. And she doesn't nag me. She doesn't tell me. But then I get these promptings to do it. And I believe that when I do that and I obey the Holy Spirit, listening to Kim, He's listening to her, that when I obey Him, that I'll be rewarded for hanging that picture, that shelf, or cleaning the patio, or whatever the thing is. And that's true in all of our lives. Everything you do in the flesh, everything that emanates from your soul, your spirit, your selfishness, your self-consumption, apart from God. Now, He wants us to enjoy. He wants to provide. He gives us wonderful things, joyful, great things in our life. But you need to be trying to say, dear God, forgive my sins, cleanse me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and live through my life, not once a day, but often daily, asking God to cleanse you and fill you and to lead you and guide you and empower you. And everything you do like that, every obedience, every little obedience, He tells you to hand a tract to somebody. Maybe some homeless person's out here. He says, go by there and hand them a sandwich or give them some money. Some of you are now carrying little sacks of things like bottled water and stuff like that to give to the homeless. Every time the Holy Spirit prompts you and you go by one of them on the corner and you hand them something like that, that is gold, silver, and precious stones. And so I just want to encourage you as we're looking at this, the judgment seat of Christ, that you seek to build with the proper materials. And then the fire of God's glory will test our works as we've looked at these verses. If a man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet though as by fire. But if a man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. So everything initiated by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit that you and I do in our life, it will withstand the Shekinah glory of God, the fire of God, the judgment, the gaze of God, the evaluation of God. And in Scripture it says that perfect love, it was in our lesson today in Life Group, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has with it the expectation of judgment. If you and I are living obedient lives, struggling and fighting to keep a clear conscience, struggling and fighting to obey the Spirit of God, and we are conscientiously really striving and trying to be obedient Christians, then we will have a wonderful, rewarded life, and at the judgment seat of Christ, we will look forward in some senses with expectation to the experiences. You may have seen the cartoon they drew of Billy Graham arriving in heaven and St. Peter, proverbial St. Peter, meeting him at the gate. It's not like that, but, and he meets him and he says, Billy, there's a lot of people here that want to see you and say thank you. And you see a depiction of innumerable heads of people as far as can be seen that want to say thank you. I went to Tallahassee with some pastors this week to pray for senators and representatives. And it's interesting that two of the pastors, there's two vans of us, there were seven pastors in all, two of the seven were led to Christ by Billy Graham. You and I need to recognize, and you say, I can't be Billy Graham. I've had some members say, I can't even witness. Now, I don't really fathom that. Share your testimony. At least hand a track out. But as the Spirit of God prompts you, don't say, I don't want to offend them. Dear God, offend the fire out of them. They're going to hell. I had one evangelist say one time, all this concern about offending the lost. He said, what are you going to do, send them to hell number two? I mean, don't be afraid of offending people. That's part of it. I've got a great, one of the most unusual stories that I'm going to share with you in 2 weeks. But today, let's prepare ourselves from this moment forward to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our loving Lord, advocate, Savior will be our judge and give an accounting of our lives, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for our people. Thank you for everyone seated here, anyone watching with internet. We pray also for those listening by radio that you just bring an awakening to our hearts individually, each one of us, one at a time, in our lives of our accountability for the judgment seat of Christ. And Father, I love you, and you know my heart. You know my strengths, my weakness. You know my good, my bad. And I just want to ask you, please, dear God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to help me to be everything, everything that you want me to be. I do pray that you'd give me and every one of us here a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you right now, do you know Christ? I mean, do you just have a knowledge of him? Are you here because you like the people here? They're friendly. They're loving. You like the music. This is a good environment. Or are you here because you're indwelt by God's Spirit and Jesus Christ is really living in your life and he's a real person to you? If he's not a real person to you, he wants to be right now. And I want to ask you, if you would, to just say, Almighty God, dear Lord, please come into my life and cleanse me, forgive me, take control of me by your Spirit. Thank you for sacrificing your Son, Jesus, to die for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Monday, March 16th at 7 a.m., the sun will rise on our spring prayer and share. Only twice a year do we come to you to raise funds for this broadcast ministry, and it is crucial in these days where the gospel and those who share it are under great attack. Faith is an active verb, and we are decidedly active in broadcasting His truth. This is a benchmark of our ministry. We fight the enemy with God's Word. Will you join us yet again, or perhaps for the first time, in this holy endeavor? You can reach us at 772-221-1100 for more information or to donate early.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.